This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, August 1st, 2018. Coming up this hour,
the White House ratchets up trade pressure on China.
Stocks in China and Hong Kong fall following the latest talk on tariffs.
Apple shares are poised for a record after earnings top estimates.
Wall Street awaits results from Tesla after a tumultuous month for the electric car maker.
President Trump's ex-campaign manager, Paul Manafort, is blaming his right-hand man for embezzlement on the first day of his bank and tax fraud trial. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A Yankee win, and they move closer to the Red Sox. The most lopsided loss in Mets history in Washington, 25-4.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And it is a new month on Wall Street, and stocks are struggling for traction as commodities are dragged lower by renewed trade tensions. 601 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 3 points. Dow futures down 39. NASDAQ futures higher, up 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. CAC in Paris, little changed. FTSE 100 down 1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.9%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32 now, down 5/32. The yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 74 cents to $68.01 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% on $1.90 to $12.31.70 an ounce. The euro $1.1684 and the yen 111.99. Nathan.
Karen, there's new pressure on the trade front with the White House ramping up tariff threats to push China into talks. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. Sources tell Bloomberg the White House is considering more than doubling its planned tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports. They were set to be hit with tariffs of 10%. Now they could receive levies of 25%. While American and Chinese officials have hinted at the possibility of restarting trade negotiations, it's been almost 2 months since they last held high-level talks. One person familiar with the internal deliberations said the U.S. is trying to secure certain concessions, and if China agrees, it's possible the U.S. would back off additional tariffs. On another front, sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. and Mexico are in the final stages of negotiating a deal on rules for cars sold under NAFTA, while Canadian officials are being frozen out. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Stocks in China did not react kindly to that news on trade today. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has details from our Singapore bureau.
Chinese equities and the yuan were whipsawed as investors assessed comments from Chinese officials pledging to support economic growth against that news that the U.S. may more than double its planned tariffs on imports from China. The CSI 300 closed down almost 2%. Likewise, the Hang Seng Index erased an earlier gain of around 0.7% to trade lower into the close. The offshore yuan also moved to the downside after China weakened its fixing for the currency to the lowest since May 2017. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. Sources tell Bloomberg China's central bank has started actively encouraging banks to boost lending. As it ratchets up efforts to bolster a cooling economy, the PBOC is becoming more flexible on lending caps imposed by the government. The move comes as the trade war and higher borrowing costs threaten China's economic outlook.
India's central bank raised its benchmark interest rate today. Policymakers hiked the repurchase rate to 6.5% as they step up efforts to curb inflation and stem capital outflows.
Here in the U.S., we get the Federal Reserve's latest policy decision today at 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Michael McKee has a preview from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Fed officials haven't set markets up for a rate move, so don't expect one. The question is what they signal about their September and December meetings. Since two more moves were priced in during June, inflation appears to have calmed, while equity markets have turned more volatile. Add in trade tariffs, and it's a combination that argues for more caution from the central bank. But with tax cut stimulus still in place, plus uncertainty over wages and oil prices, policymakers will likely try to preserve their options by offering as little direction as possible in their statement. In Washington, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Michael, thank you. Turning to earnings now, shares of Apple up 3.4% in early trading after a fourth quarter sales forecast that topped estimates. Consumers are buying high-end iPhones along with gadgets for the device, while Apple's digital services continue to grow. Analysts like what they see. Julie Ask is with Forrester Research.
If you look at where Apple needs to be strong to continue on this pace, they're showing growth in the right places.
Daniel Flax is a senior analyst at NB.
The services results and other products suggest that wearables, the AirPod, watches are doing well, really suggest that the platform is broadening out and you have multiple growth drivers.
Eric Hippo is a partner at Lehrer Hippo Ventures.
The big surprise is the average selling price has shot up, mostly on the basis of the strong sales of the top line, the iPhone 10, which many analysts had said, no, it's too expensive, but it seems to be picking up steam.
Shares of Apple currently trading just below $197. If that level holds at the open, it would be a record.
In Europe, Rio Tinto reported first-half profit at a four-year high and plans for a share buyback. At the same time, the firm cites global trade as a potential concern and says sanctions on Rusal have hurt the company's aluminum business. Rio Tinto shares are down 4% in London.
We get earnings today from 35 companies in the S&P 500. Tesla also releases results on the heels of a tumultuous month for the electric car maker. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Tesla bears have been dominating the conversation in the lead-up to the company's quarterly results. They cite concerns about cash flow, Model 3 production, and gross margins. Bloomberg Intelligence says second-quarter unit deliveries could be disconcertingly low. Tesla is seen holding back in order to protect a $7,500 federal tax rebate to buyers for another 3 months. The rebate goes away when Tesla makes delivery number 200,000. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. And ahead of those earnings, sources tell Bloomberg Tesla's planning to invest $5 billion in a Chinese factory. The move comes as trade tensions make it imperative for Tesla to establish production in China. Shares of Tesla are up 0.5% in early trading.
S&P futures down 3 points this morning, and straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:07 is the time on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr, find out what else is going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Trial continues today for Paul Manafort. During opening statements yesterday, defense lawyers for Manafort say President Trump's former campaign manager was betrayed by his right-hand man, Rick Gates, and never committed any crimes. Prosecutors say Manafort lied and lived a tax-free lifestyle. Manafort is accused of tax and bank fraud. President Trump is calling for voters to show photo ID at the polls. He spoke during a rally in Tampa, Florida last night.
You know, if you go out and you want to buy groceries, you need a picture on a card. You need ID. You go out and you want to buy anything, you need ID and you need your picture.
Trump also said that the U.S. is doing well in North Korea, although China maybe is getting in our way. One of the swing votes in the Supreme Court confirmation proceedings of Brett Kavanaugh says she supports the limitation of documents released to senators. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter explains.
While Democrats cry foul after Republican leaders angle to limit disclosures of documents, Republican Senator Susan Collins says she has no objection. Now, these documents relate to the time that Kavanaugh served as staff secretary to President George W. Bush. Experts are watching Collins, along with fellow Republican Lisa Murkowski, who support women's rights with regard to reproduction. With the Senate at 51-49 control, if the two of them decided to vote against confirmation, Kavanaugh could well go down. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A passenger jet that was headed for Mexico City crashed just after takeoff in Durango, Mexico. All 103 people on board made it out alive. The Mayo Clinic is out with a study with some surprising news. Despite all the warnings about opioid addiction and abuse, the number of prescription-written drugs has not decreased in the past 5 years. However, Dr. Molly Jeffrey, who led the study, says there was a significant change when Mayo physicians looked at patients and made suggestions to their doctors.
They reduced their prescribing for like the volume of pills that they were giving after hip and knee surgeries by about 50%.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:09 is the time on Wall Street. Let's get in Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stanshower.
Nathan, the Mets have lost plenty of games in their history, beginning with that first season, 1962. They lost 120 times, but never have they lost a game like they did last night.
1-2 to Rosario. Swinging a ground ball to third. Charging is Reynolds. He's got it. Throws to first in time. And the ball game is over. Final score, the Washington Nationals 25 and the New York Mets 4.
WOR, the call, most lopsided loss in team history. It was 7-0 before the first inning was over, and already Steven Matz was taken out. The last Mets pitcher was infielder Jose Reyes, and he gave up six more runs. Daniel Murphy, the ex-Met, led the onslaught. Two homers, six RBIs. The Nationals perhaps celebrating the fact they didn't trade Bryce Harper before the deadline. At the stadium, Yankees led the Orioles 6-0 after Miguel Andujar three-run homer. They won 6-3 with six scoreless innings from Masahiro Tanaka and Aroldis Chapman's 29th save. And the Red Sox lost to the Phillies 3-1. So the Yanks are five games behind. Their four-game series in Boston begins tomorrow. They were going to face Sox ace Chris Sale in the series opener, but he's been put on the disabled list with a shoulder injury that's not considered serious. The Yanks are hoping the newly acquired Jay Happ can start on Saturday. Happ is suffering from hand, foot, and mouth disease. Incredibly, both New York teams with pitchers with the same rare affliction. The Mets' Noah Syndergaard has been sidelined with it as well. As legal sports betting expands to states outside Nevada, the NBA struck a three-year, $25 million deal with MGM Resorts to be the NBA's official gaming partner. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
And John, that partnership means that MGM will be able to use official NBA and WNBA logos and trademarks in states where gambling is legal. It will also give access to official NBA data streams so that MGM Resorts can create products like in-game betting. Sources tell Bloomberg that three-year deal is worth $25 million. Representatives for the NBA and MGM, though, declined to comment on terms. S&P futures down about 2 points. Dow futures down 40. NASDAQ futures ahead by 15. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by National Realty. Developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The White House may raise its planned tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports. They were set to be hit with tariffs of 10%. Now sources tell Bloomberg they could receive levies of 25%. Shares of Apple are higher after solid third quarter results suggested the latest devices are resonating with consumers. Bloomberg Intelligence says that bodes well for the iPhone refresh in September. The Fed is coasting toward a probable rate hike next month, so today's meeting is unlikely to surprise. The statement will be scoured for comments on the sustainability of economic growth, the potential fallout from trade wars, and the slope of the yield curve. And the New York Post says Dan Loeb is trying to convince Campbell Soup's controlling family to put it up for sale. Loeb's Third Point reportedly has a stake of at least $300 million in the company. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Hannah, thank you. S&P futures are down 2 points this morning. Dow futures down 37, NASDAQ futures up 15. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.97%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 67 cents to $68.10 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Vice President Mike Pence is flying to Hawaii today to receive 55 sets of remains of U.S. soldiers who died in the Korean War. The remains were recently handed over by North Korea. The second day of the trial against former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort begins today. Federal prosecutors say Manafort funneled tens of millions of dollars through offshore accounts. Defense lawyers say it was Manafort's ex-right-hand man, Rick Gates, who embezzled millions of dollars. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 6-3. We've seen the Mets lose plenty of games, but this one was special. The Mets lost to the Nationals 25-4. The turning point was the first pitch. The Red Sox lost. The A's and Giants were winners. Global news. Yeah, I'm mad and snarky. 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yeah, they got those four. Thank you, Michael. 6:20 is the time out on Wall Street. Let's bring in Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Economics, talking about numbers. Carl, not expecting much movement on the numbers in terms of where the Federal Open Market Committee is going to set interest rates after 2 p.m. Wall Street time, are we?
Sure, Nathan. Talk about the August doldrums here with the Fed meeting. A pretty light lift today. So we have no press conference, no forecast update. We'll just have the tone of the meeting statement to really glean any signaling from the Fed. And, of course, we won't have any rate increase either. The market's already, significantly pricing in the likelihood of a September rate hike, over 80% right now. So even then, the Fed does not have to do much in terms of laying out the carpet for their upcoming actions. So they'll acknowledge the Q2 GDP results, which were quite robust. But I think they'll also hint that that is not going to be a sustainable pace, and they'll retain their optionality for that potential fourth hike in Q4 of this year.
Yeah, the dot plot does show the potential for four rate hikes. Is your team still calling for three?
We are still looking for just three rate hikes, and certainly the economy will be humming along nicely as we head towards that Q4 meeting. What I'm more concerned about are financial conditions tightening, and that could be a sell-off in the equity markets. It could be appreciation of the dollar, further flattening of the yield curve. All of these financial signals, more so than the economic signals, give me some pause that maybe the Fed won't feel the need to execute that fourth rate hike. And certainly, even if we look at the inflation numbers, we've underperformed for the better part of the last 8 years. We seem to be at 2% in the latest data, although I think the Fed will continue to use this language saying that we're close but not quite there in today's statement. And when we look at short-term changes, the inflation numbers are starting to show some evidence of moderation. So there's just really little need to take the punch bowl away that quickly. And I think ultimately when it comes down to it in Q4, they'll opt for a pause, not a hike. And mind you, that pause simply pushes that next hike out into Q1 of next year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how much signaling we should look for heading into the first half of 2019.
I don't think we get anything in that regard today. It'll be more effective to do that at the September meeting when they release the next round of forecast updates and interest rate projections. For the time being, again, play it quiet, don't rock the boat, and see you in September, as the old song goes.
Yeah, indeed. In terms of boat rocking, are you expecting much of that when the Friday jobs report comes out?
I think that we could get some boat rocking there. The economy has been accelerating. Aside from that blowout Q2 GDP result, if we look at the underlying trend, the economy is indeed picking up a momentum, and that's happening in a low labor cost environment, as we saw yesterday in the employment cost index and also the core PCE deflator data for June. So if you have a lack of wage pressures and the economy is growing faster, that should augur for a stronger payroll gain. And so consensus is looking about 185, 190 for payrolls. We're looking for something north of 200,000. I think we're going to see a strong result. Still very gradual labor cost increases, but nonetheless, that payroll gain will get folks' attention.
Are we at, or how close are we, do you think, to the neutral rate?
I think we're pretty close to a neutral unemployment rate, but we'll know when we see more wage pressure. So assuming we see this gradual uptrend extend into the back half of the year, then probably we'll say in this cycle the neutral level of unemployment was about 4%, which was much lower than many economists anticipated.
Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Economics. I know you got 2 p.m. Wall Street time. Alarm set on your smartphone. Even as maybe market participants, as you say in your write-up, might see this as a non-event. But we'll be covering it, extensive coverage here on Bloomberg Radio as the Fed comes out with that decision. S&P futures pointing to a little changed open at this point, down just a point. Dow futures down 34. NASDAQ futures higher by 0.2%, 15 points higher on the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100. 10-year Treasury yields at 2.97%, 2-year at 2.66. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover story, the new space age. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com for the global stories that matter most.
Whoa. Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. There's new pressure on the trade front, with the White House ramping up tariff threats to push China into talks. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Sources tell Bloomberg the U.S. is considering more than doubling proposed tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods from 10% to 25%. It ramps up the pressure on Beijing as officials here work to shore up a slowing economy. The tariffs could be enforced after a consultation period ending August the 30th. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. Meanwhile, sources tell Bloomberg Tesla plans to invest $5 billion in a Chinese factory. The move comes as trade tensions make it imperative for Tesla to establish production in China.
On the earnings front, results from Apple beat expectations. The company also forecasts fourth quarter sales that topped analyst estimates. Shares of Apple are up more than 3.5% in early trading.
In Europe, Rio Tinto shares are down 4%. First half profit came in at a 4-year high, but sanctions on Rusal hurt the company's aluminum business.
Volkswagen's profit jumped 23% in the second quarter. Still, the world's largest automaker expects upcoming tougher emissions testing to delay deliveries. VW shares are down 1%.
The Federal Reserve issues its latest policy decision at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, and at 8:15 a.m., ADP issues its monthly employment report. Forecasts call for a gain of 186,000 jobs in July. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
Bloomberg Economics says last quarter's sizzling GDP points to strength ahead. Private payroll growth has averaged about 200,000 a month since the start of the year. Job openings have been running at record highs. Just the same, Wall Street will be watching today's ADP report for the impact of White House trade policy. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report brought to you by Cboe. The VIX fell yesterday to close at 1283. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 1309. That's this morning's Volatility Report.
And S&P futures are now little changed. Dow futures down 22. NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.97%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 70 cents at $68.08 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.50 to $12.32.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.1682, and the yen, 111.92. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. This news update brought to you by Eisner Amper. Congress has passed the most sweeping tax law changes since 1986. Is your company ready? Check out the latest analysis and news from Eisner Amper at EisnerAmper.com/tax change. Michael Barr is here to tell us more about what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Trump says that the U.S. is doing well in North Korea, although China may be getting in our way. Trump, at a campaign rally in Tampa, Florida last night, also says his administration still needs more money for his promised border wall.
They'd say he's not acting presidential. And I'd say, well, it's a lot easier to act presidential than to do what I do. Anybody can act presidential.
On Iran, Trump says he has a feeling the nation will be talking to the U.S. pretty soon. Paul Manafort is blaming his former right-hand man, Rick Gates, in his tax and bank fraud trial. Lawyers for President Trump's ex-campaign manager say it was Gates who embezzled millions of dollars and lied to prosecutors to stay out of prison. With President Trump renewing his threat to shut down the government before the midterm elections, GOP leaders in Congress are trying to placate his demands for a border wall. Bloomberg's Martin DeCarroll reports.
Keen to avoid a government shutdown in the weeks before voters decide who will control the next Congress, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Republicans support Trump's wall.
We've funded in the Senate the president's initial request. We're going to continue to discuss it with him.
But Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the president is complicating negotiations with his Twitter finger.
Whenever he gets involved, he seems to mess it up.
Trump says if he shuts down the government, it'll be Democrats' fault. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
Facebook announced that it has deleted accounts involved in coordinated inauthentic behavior. Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg told reporters in a conference call,
"This kind of behavior is not allowed on Facebook, because we don't want organizations or individuals creating networks of accounts that mislead people about who they are or what they're doing."
An Aeromexico jetliner taking off in a storm smashed down into a nearby field but skidded to a stop virtually intact. All 103 people aboard survived. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. It's 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, Masahiro Tanaka looks ready for the postseason. A month-long stint of the disabled may have actually helped him. In his last two starts, Tanaka has not allowed a run, a scoreless hitting streak that's now up to 17. He hasn't been tagged with a loss since mid-April. Stretch of 13 consecutive starts last night, 6 scoreless innings for Aaron Boone.
Great job by him of reining it in a little bit. I think he struggled a little bit in that first inning with his command and his slider a little bit, but he really settled in from there and made the necessary adjustments, got real pitch efficient, and, you know, to be able to get us through 6 tonight the way he did, he continues to pitch well for us, and obviously that's huge for us going forward.
Yankees beat the Orioles at the stadium 6-3. Miguel Andujar, a 3-run homer. The Red Sox lost to the Phillies, so the Boston lead is 5. The Yanks will be in Boston for a 4-game series starting tomorrow. They catch a break. Sox ace Chris Sale put on the disabled list, a mild shoulder injury. He was going to pitch tomorrow. Yanks are hopeful Jay Happ can make his start on Saturday. He has what's called a mild case of hand, foot, and mouth disease. No, he didn't get it from the Mets' Noah Syndergaard. He's got it too. They think it may have happened when Happ traveled to New York from Toronto after the trade. Syndergaard returned to the mound this afternoon in Washington. Today's game promising to be closer than the one last night. The Nationals won 25-4. That's the most lopsided loss in Mets history. And as any Mets fans will attest to, they've lost a lot of games in their history. None like this. The Nationals scored 7 runs in the first inning, 3 in each of the next 4 frames. So it was 19-0 midway through the game. For good measure, they tacked on 6 more in the 8th off Mets infielder Jose Reyes. Serena Williams with the worst loss of her career. She lost only 1 game in a match in San Jose. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Experts have been warning that the U.S. government might soon fail at one of its most fundamental responsibilities, conducting an accurate census of the population. Increasingly, that looks to be precisely what the Trump administration wants to do. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross wants the upcoming 2020 census to include a question on citizenship, on the grounds that the data are needed under the Voting Rights Act of 1965. The motivation might be noble if it were the slightest bit necessary. It's not. The American Community Survey already discerns how many citizens of various races are eligible to vote. Ross's plan could discourage immigrant and minority families from cooperating with the census. That would mean an undercount of traditionally Democratic states. 17 state attorneys general argue that Ross's plan violates the constitutional mandate to conduct an accurate census. One must hope their argument prevails. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. With concerns mounting about online privacy, the Trump administration is working with the tech sector to create a new privacy proposal. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with details.
In a shift from previous efforts, the tech industry is finally getting involved in the draft process.
I doubt it's going to be overly restrictive on companies and give consumers tons of power. It'll just be something probably regulation-based that pushes back on some of these data collection processes.
Bloomberg Law's Dan Stoller says the Commerce Department will be using the feedback for the draft proposal.
So they think with doing this public comment period, they can get something that may be a consensus bill or at least something that could be bipartisan and go through and try to pass either by the end of this year or sometime early in the next session.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. 6:39 is the time now on Wall Street. Let's get the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. The tight U.S. labor market should result in higher wages. That makes sense. If there's a shortage of workers, a business would pay more to attract qualified employees. The latest Paychex IHS Markit's Small Business Employment Watch finds that is not the case. There's declining wage growth among small businesses, according to Paychex CEO Barney Mucci.
We asked why they weren't pushing wages up a little bit more in a tight labor market. What we got back was almost two-thirds said they weren't making a large enough profit or a profit to be able to raise wages. And the other, about another third, said that they were investing in kind of automation and things like that that were more critical to the future of their business.
The payroll data collected by Paychex shows small business wage gains continued what is now a year-long slide. Hourly earnings growth has slowed from 2.96% to about 2.42%. That works out to $26.70 an hour. That is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report, Nate.
All right, thank you, John. This is Daybreak. It's 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, we'll get the latest on what's happening in Washington, including the new trade threat toward China. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is on the way.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. NASDAQ futures are jumping this morning while Dow futures are lower. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures down 38 points, S&P's dropped 2, and the heels of Alpha earnings, NASDAQ futures trading higher by 15. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.98%. Shanghai fell 1.8% overnight. Well, European markets are also under pressure, led by 1% losses in the U.K. Back in the U.S., a busy day on the economic front at 8:15, ADP employment change at 9:45, U.S. manufacturing PMI at 10 o'clock, construction spending and ISM manufacturing, and at 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. After the bell last night, Apple beat. Shares are up 3.8% in the pre-market, and the Wall Street Journal reported that Third Point has taken a stake in Campbell's Soup. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Humana beat, Ferrari was mixed, United Therapeutics beat, and look for ADP to report around 7 a.m. Wrapping things up, Akamai was downgraded to hold at Deutsche Bank, Dropbox upgraded to buy at Jefferies, Ecolab was upgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan, and Pandora upgraded to outperform over at RBC. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news of your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, day two of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort bank and tax fraud trial takes place today. Prosecutors say Manafort funneled tens of millions of dollars through offshore accounts. The Los Angeles District Attorney's Office said it will not prosecute CBS CEO Les Moonves for alleged sex crimes because too much time has elapsed to pursue incidents from the 1980s. A woman who called herself an acquaintance of Moonves formally complained to authorities last year accusing the network chief of sexual assault and assault and battery. In sports and baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 6-3. I haven't mentioned the Mets yet, and I'll get to that little slice of heaven in a second. The Red Sox lost. The A's and Giants were winners. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal.
Here we go.
It's like the Mets went up to the drive-through window and said, supersize my loss, and I'll have a double. The Mets lost to the Nationals 25-4. The score was 25-1 in the top of the ninth, and that's when the Mets tried to make it close. Nathan, they scored three.
That they did. And full disclosure here, Michael, I'm a Nationals fan. This win bumps the Nats back up to 500. It'd be kind of nice if they could have spread those 25 runs out for a few games. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Good for you. My wife and my in-laws are huge Mets fans, and that means I'm a Mets fan because I don't want to sleep on the couch. So I'm rooting for the Mets, and this happens. If I rooted for the Harlem Globetrotters, they'd lose, too.
Well, we've got the Washington Generals, so there you go.
Global News 24 hours. That's right, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Nathan? It all evens out in the end, Michael. Thank you. 6:50 is the time on Wall Street. Let's check out what else is going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital, besides the Nats' big win, include the Trump administration considering more than doubling planned tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese imports. Paul Manafort's defense blaming his right-hand man for embezzlement on the first day of his bank and fraud trial. And word that the White House is not considering a push to slash tax bills for investors. Let's get more on these stories now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Of course, Kathleen, the big story this morning is trade. Bring us up to date on what's happened between the U.S. and China since, oh gosh, late yesterday.
So basically, what we now know is that the Trump administration is considering upping to 25% from 10% the amount of the levies that it's considering imposing on an additional $200 billion in Chinese goods, which would basically bring U.S. tariffs on all Chinese goods into effect. So this would be a dramatic step, and my read of it is that essentially the Trump administration is trying to coax Beijing back to the negotiating table. The talks have been stalled for about 2 months by using a stick rather than a carrot approach, essentially saying, you know, talk with us, try to come to a solution, or else what we've already threatened is going to be even worse.
I mean, that's the question we've been putting to our team of trade reporters here at Bloomberg News, is whether the sides are talking. I mean, is there a prospect that, this kind of hammer approach could bring the Chinese back to the table?
Well, it's interesting because it does sound like Mnuchin and his Chinese counterpart, the Treasury Secretary and his Chinese counterpart, are actually having some preliminary talks about restarting formal talks. And so I think the question, though, is whether or not this latest kind of threat from the White House, from the administration, helps restart those talks or hurts that effort. China has come out and essentially accused the U.S. of trying to blackmail it. So it seems as though, at least rhetorically, this has kind of pushed the sides potentially further apart, not closer together.
All right, let's talk a bit more about the special counsel trial underway in Alexandria, Virginia, just across the river from D.C. Tell us about the first day of former Trump campaign chair Paul Manafort's tax and bank fraud trial.
So it was very interesting to see during the first day of the trial yesterday was that we kind of got a glimpse for the first time of what the defense's strategy is going to be. And it sounds like the defense strategy is clearly going to be trying to shift the blame to Rick Gates, who was Manafort's right-hand man during a lot of the time in question, and has pleaded guilty to some charges, and is the prosecution's basically going to put Gates up as their star witness. So in his opening remarks, Manafort's lawyer focused a lot on trying to kind of impeach Gates' credibility, which is a strategy we often see from defense attorneys, and one that I guess isn't surprising, but that we are likely to continue to hear going forward.
All right. We'll be continuing to follow that, of course. And finally, we had a New York Times report yesterday saying the Trump administration was considering a tax cut on capital gains. What a difference a day makes, because now we're hearing the White House doesn't have those plans. The whipsaw effect continues.
Exactly. Like, in D.C. lately, it's hard not to get whiplash when you're reading news out of Washington lately. But it sounds like what's going on here is that this is kind of a Treasury Department initiative, a Steven Mnuchin initiative, to look at potentially doing this in a way, in particular, where they would do it essentially through the executive branch and bypass Congress to index capital gains taxes to inflation. And there's a lot of legal questions kind of separately about whether or not that would even be, kosher. But I think the question now is, or the issue now is that the White House is kind of saying, oh, no, we're not actively considering it. It's not a priority. So, again, my read of that is that maybe it's something Mnuchin's interested in doing that's not really yet on Trump's radar. And maybe he's talking to the New York Times about it because he wants to put it on Trump's radar.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on your Bloomberg terminal. And a reminder, follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. It's 6:54 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The media industry is having another Me Too moment, this time involving CBS and its chairman and chief executive, Les Moonves. The allegations are a reminder of the gender and power imbalance across Hollywood and the media world. Studies out of San Diego State University found that there's been little progress over the last 20 years in employing more female writers, directors, producers, and editors for movies and TV shows. Women held just 18% of key behind-the-scenes roles for last year's top 250 films. And the figures aren't much better on the TV side. The upper ranks of the U.S. media giants are also predominantly male. The revelations about CBS are an opportunity to talk about how out of balance the media and entertainment landscape continues to be, and how to finally change that. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Patrice Sikora.
The veritable ketchup packet as it currently exists could go away. Kraft Heinz plans to overhaul its global packaging designs to find greener alternatives. The food giant says it will make 100% of its packaging recyclable, reusable, or compostable by 2025. Now, with the move, the company joins other consumer names, including Unilever, Procter & Gamble, Nestle, and Colgate-Palmolive, that have all set deadlines to make their products more environmentally friendly. Kraft Heinz officials say this could mean major changes for some well-known products, including those Heinz ketchup packets, multi-laminate Capri Sun juice pouches, and individually wrapped Kraft Singles cheese. Both consumers and investors have pressed the company to overhaul its packaging in the past few years, with more than 13% of shareholders supporting an investor proposal at the annual meeting in April asking for a report on the recyclability of packaging. That's a Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Patrice Sikora.
All right, Patrice, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Apple. They're up 3.8% in early trading. This is after the company projected sales that suggest consumers are still snapping up the company's high-end iPhones, even as updated models are on the horizon. We're also watching Tesla up 0.6%. It plans to invest $5 billion building a factory in China as the trade war with the U.S. makes establishing production in the world's fastest-growing auto market more imperative for the electric car pioneer, that according to a person familiar with the matter. S&P futures are down 2.5 points this morning. Dow futures also lower, down 45, while NASDAQ futures climb up 14. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.97%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.1%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.